This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio, and it's May 14th here on the Across Divide show, and we have a special and challenging week to be visiting on Wandering Nature News with our friend Mick Rice from Gooseberry Falls State Park. The naturalist there is Michaela Rice. Greetings. Welcome. It's a tough week for a lot of folks locally.
Yeah, we are off to May with a bang.
Yeah, exactly. As I said to somebody, it's realer than we want real to get. And hopefully everyone comes out of this okay, at least physically. We haven't had any major injuries or deaths reported in the fires that are ongoing. Mostly, they started on the St. Louis County side, right near the Lake County line in the greater Brimson area. And they're at over 18,000 acres as we speak, as I speak to Michaela today. So, yeah, Michaela, I was making lists of things like the birds that I'd been seeing, you know, the ones, the transients just visiting the feeder once. And that was what we were going to talk about today. But I thought maybe it would be an important time to remind ourselves about what fire's effect is on the landscape among the many things that are going to be affected, of course, our wildlife and our plant and animal, you know, our plant friends as well. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have a lot of them.
That's fair. This is your segment, so please do.
Yeah, I think May is an interesting time. Like you said, there's a lot of things that are ephemeral, the way things are emerging from the ground. It's like so much is happening every day, which is the same with the fires. So much, you know, is kind of spreading. That risk kind of feels closer to home. We had a very small fire at the park today as well.
Oh.
So things are happening. So now is a time to really pay attention to every flame that you have outside. We're at that crucial point. May, there's not a lot of green vegetation out right now. We don't have a lot of moisture in the soils or in our fuel. And so it's just so dry. And then we have these high temperatures. We have the wind from the lake. We have all the dead trees that we talk about on a regular basis. All those things are coming to play here in May. I learned something interesting for I guess, reasons of bureaucracy. And I don't mean that to be negative, but the state park land and other state land doesn't typically have fire bans. So what that means is we can't necessarily say no fires are allowed at Gooseberry Falls State Park.
Now, does that extend beyond the camping areas to the outback? Somebody takes a hike, they can have a fire?
No, we can, you know, you can only ever have fires in our designated fire areas. Okay.
Thank you. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. There are some, you know, wilderness type parks that have backpacking and things like that.
Sure, sure. Yeah. So not our state parks, but what that means is even in the designated fire ring, we just don't have a whole lot of control about saying no fires at all. So even if you're at a state park, every flame matters. It may be legally allowed to have a fire, but you know, if you're standing in your campsite and you're thinking about these factors, the dryness, the fuel load, you're at a park like Gooseberry, don't have a fire. It's just these things can creep outside of our hemisphere of control so quickly, right?
Sure. And I know that you're aware that for some people, they may only have one or two times a year where they get out away from a suburban urban area and they're going to ask you, well, it's my one night.
That's true. The bugs are out, right? I want to have a fire.
Yeah, and the atmosphere. This makes my trip. This is the most memorable moment. And yet.
And yet, it's so dangerous. So we have to be more aware of the effects that we leave, right? On the communities that we visit, the landscape that we visit. Fire is a huge one of them. Unfortunately, the fire regimes, as we can imagine, have been disrupted since we started, removing indigenous people from the land and then doing very drastic things to the land with machinery and cutting, right?
Well, essentially clear-cutting entire mm-hmm. counties and yeah. then putting people in places where people haven't lived permanently for mm-hmm. eons, if ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so all that, you know, we're learning about those effects on fire. I think right now we're seeing these large groupings of trees that are just a few types of trees, right? They are also aging similarly because they were harvested or started growing there, you know, the same time. So we just got these blocks of trees that are all the same. They die at the same rate. They burn at the same rate. And right now, a lot of those are, I think, kind of turning into these future fires, you know? The animals, though, I will tell you, they know how to read fires. So we as humans are having the hardest time with that right now. Fires do move across the landscape in a way that typically allows a lot of animals to get out of the way, whether it's burrowing underground or climbing up really tall on a tree. But when we combine all these factors, like the intensity of these fires, there are going to be more likely some wildlife effects from that. Because how do you climb a tree if all of the trees are
currently on fire?
Yeah.
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 It occurred to me. Because I did bring up to you the very slowest moving of our forest mammals, mm-hmm. like the porcupine. Maybe they have really good sense and they start getting underway sooner than other species, but they don't make a lot of headway per hour. So I was worried that mm-hmm. it was a pretty serious impact on their population.
Yeah. I would also think critters in the leaf layer. Oh. We don't have a lot of duff anymore.
Right.
Typically, you know, that stuff could be a foot thick. I would want to hide in that if I was in a fire.
Right.
Because, you know, you could kind of bury yourself. But those refugees don't really exist anymore. So, yeah, those animals, like I'm thinking frogs and toads and snakes, where do you go? You don't have claws to dig.
Right.
So, yeah, that's when I think some of these forest fires could be pretty, you know, like locally catastrophic for some critters.
Yeah, and, you know, the stage was set by major die-off of balsam fir over the last decade from that cycle of spruce budworm, but many other factors at play. One of the things we were both talking about before we went on was beavers provide a landscape change by creating a meadow effect, a wet meadow effect that can really provide a big gap that the fire doesn't even jump. And so there's another example of a keystone species. Mm-hmm. I don't think they call it the Beaver Fire Department, but they certainly are providing maybe a possible break in some of these fires.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, you'll have friends. I know you live kind of out in these areas that if you were to poll these folks and say, how many of you live harmoniously with the beavers on your property? You know, it's not something that it's not easy to do with our way of living. And so, but in times like this, wouldn't that help if you had a beaver pond that you
Yeah, you've opened up a can of worms when it comes to beavers in the Knife River watershed. There's the fisherman perspective. There's a wildlife lover's perspective. There are the people that like their roads not flooded perspective.
Absolutely. It's
multi-use.
It's so complicated. And then it's just kind of so ironic how perfectly situated, you know, a beaver is kind of when it comes to creating habitat that's fireproof and also in that uses fire and like the plants and animals. So yeah, when we get out of that balance, we get really fearful of what those processes look like. And so I think this summer is going to be stressful. And so just make sure that you're paying attention when you're outside, and maybe when your friends and family are visiting, just remind them that we do have a very fire like vulnerable kind of habitat up here, you know?
Yeah. And it was just 3.5 to 4 years ago that we had a severe drought in the summer of 2021. And we had a non-human caused fire from a lightning strike that burned tens of thousands of acres. And there seems to be a little bit more awareness that we live in a place that could regularly have fire come and hang out where people are trying to live, have their seasonal homes. Some people now permanently living out in the woods that mm-hmm. can commute or they retire to these spaces. And it makes for a lot of conflict because we may be told to manage our woods differently. Being fire wise is something that individual households can do, and it's probably might make the difference between your dwelling and your outbuilding, your homestead surviving, maybe being damaged but not destroyed. And so check into that, folks. That's my tip for the day, FireWise practices.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you were talking about the tough side of things this spring, but we have fun on tap and a little bit of an aspect of joy to discuss as
Absolutely.
Well.
We cannot get consumed in this scariness, and so I fight that with gratitude. So we're going to be enjoying the magic of moths this Friday, May 16th at the library, 1:30, and we're going to have the lights turned off for some of it. We're going to have a black light, and of course, this is for youth, but I encourage any age to come. I had quite the turnout the other month with the owl pellets, and everyone had a really fun time.
People had fun
through.
With owl pellets. Imagine the fun they're going to have with a flying creature, the moth. But describe a bit, Mick, what kinds of costumes and what kinds of movements. And I'm just imagining and not quite getting there.
We are going to be making glow-in-the-dark bookmarks and decorating glow-in-the-dark moths. We'll also be learning to fly a little bit like a moth and just enjoying the beauty of being a little weird. Moths come out at night. They don't live for very long. Some of them look really crazy. So we're just going to have fun and learn about, what makes moths so magical.
Is this all ages or for a specific crowd?
That's what I'm saying. It's supposed to be for like 3 to 13,
but
anyone can come.
Because I was going to say, a lot of people would like to have some license to loosen up. And
absolutely.
I hope they don't go crashing in the lights, though. You're not going to turn on a lot of bright lights and watch people bounce into them.
No, I have sensory issues, so I'm very aware of that. Okay. We'll try to be subtle, but enjoy a little bit of UV. Yeah, that's at the library. That's going to be the end of my kind of outreach season. My intern started today, Bryn. We grew up like the same, like back home in our, it's crazy. We grew up probably a few miles from each other. So Bryn's my new intern this summer. We're going to have lots of lovely programs.
Wow. Bryn from the hood.
Bryn from the hood, P-Town. Yeah, on the North Shore. We were out looking at little ferns this morning. So
great. So we're moving away from the indoor creative encounters, going more outdoors. I don't know if it's primarily those outdoor demos or will there still be hikes? What's on the cards?
Both. I will be really trying to enhance some of Bryn's programs, I think, with my kind of art stuff. So she wants to do some stuff with ferns, maybe, or trees.
Okay.
Maybe she'd be doing her nature cart program, getting people the skills to learn the trees. But maybe I would have a tree painting thing or some leaf pressing or something. I kind of want to come up with ways to enhance things that she's doing. And then also we'll be having our hikes, our phenology walks, our waterfall hikes going on throughout the summer.
If you promise not to hit me, my question is, are you going to be doing some portraiture of trees or are you going to be painting the trunks of trees, which I know you won't be doing?
We might be doing bark rubbing.
Okay.
I don't know, Leo.
Oh, you could be painting with the material from the tree. Oh.
Yep. Or like you put a
block
really
prints?
Thin block prints too. I was thinking fern block prints, botanic. Yep.
Wow.
So many ideas.
And so here I thought I was being ridiculous, but you can just riff on that and make something happen. I love it.
Yeah, it's about appreciating the little things. So that's what we'll be doing this summer. Come say hi to us.
That's a very nice thought and note for this difficult week for a lot of folks, that there will continue to be joy in this world. And thank you, Kayla Rice, for being one of those agents for that joy.
Yeah, we're in this together, y'all. So thanks for having me, Leo.
My pleasure. We will see you on the radio in June. Take care. As Michaela Rice, naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park, and this is Leo for KTWH.